When we go visit Sherry's parents there in Lakeland, before we head out, Vernita always says, well, do you have quarters with you? Because you're probably going to need that somewhere along the way. In the Roman Empire, as they were building their roads, they had toll roads. We're going to talk about the individuals this morning who were in charge of taking those tolls in a lesson that I've entitled, Why I Want to Be a Publican. Not a Republican, a publican. I mentioned that this week to Sherry, and she said, well, if you do that Sunday night, you have to preach Why I Want to Be a Democrat. So I want to make it very clear that we're talking about publicans this morning, not Republicans. The publican, from the Latin publicanus, was the term that Rome used for the tax collector. You may have a newer version that says tax collector. The older versions have the word publican. From publicanus, to take up the public tax. Interestingly enough, the word publican is still used today. Not surprisingly, it's someone who runs a pub. They're actually called a publican. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know that. But in Bible times, a publican worked as a public tax collector. And there are several of them mentioned in the New Testament, and they're mentioned in a positive light, so much so that I want to be a publican, and I hope that you would want to be one too. Now, in the Roman Empire, they prided themselves on advanced technology, and they actually had a very good road system for their time. That was one thing that was known in the Pax Romana, the age of Roman peace, was very good road system. And when you went to get on a road or exit a road, there would be a tax collector. The word translated publican or tax collector literally means to pay at the end. When you're on this road, you're going to have to pay before it's over with. To pay at the end. And there were tax collectors. And of course, depending upon what area of the world you were living in, Rome used local individuals to collect those taxes. And so in Palestine, they would be using Jews to collect those taxes. Well, if you were a Jew like Matthew, we're going to read about him in just a minute, or Levi, and you were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire, your fellow Jews did not really like you. They didn't like you working for Rome. They didn't like you taking their money at the toll booth when it came time to get off the road. So you were typically not liked by individuals. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 17. Matthew 18:17. Jesus is aware of this fact that people typically stay away from publicans. And so when he was talking about when your brother sins and you go and try to point out his sin and he doesn't want to hear you, then take two or three more. If he doesn't hear them, then bring it before the church. And if he doesn't hear them, Jesus said, let him be as a publican and a Gentile. A publican. Why say that? Well, Jesus is talking about the current thinking of the day that we stay away from publicans. We don't typically like these kind of people. So he used the publican as an example then of somebody that we would not have fellowship with. And so this is one passage that we would turn to with regard to what we call church disfellowship. Let him be as a publican. Well, clearly they were not liked. And what's interesting that we're going to find out this morning is that they were not liked. But when they're mentioned in the Gospels, they're mentioned in a positive light. I find that interesting. We're going to find this morning that these people that are shunned, these people that are ignored and disliked, they're the very ones that are acting in the right way. And we're going to see, that's why I want to be a publican. You know, it's interesting that Jesus would often use individuals around Him in His ministry as examples of positive examples to follow. And He would use examples from individuals that were shunned and disliked. Do you remember when, in Luke chapter 7, when Jesus was in the home of Simon, and this woman, this sinful woman comes in? He uses her as an example to Simon of mercy and forgiveness. And He says to Simon, "You didn't wash my feet." He uses the example of this sinful woman. In Luke chapter 10, He used the example of the Samaritan that Jews didn't want to be around. The Good Samaritan. This man that nobody wants to be around. But he's the one that's actually showing compassion. And he's the one that's actually living right. Jesus would use the outcast and the shunned as lessons for the rest of us. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the publican. The person that you normally stay away from, he's the person that we really need to be like. And so this morning, why I want to be a publican. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. I want to be a publican because when they came to John the Baptist, they asked the important questions about life. The questions that deal with our soul and the questions that deal with the importance of changing our life and bringing it into conformity to God's Word and God's will. Many others around, they didn't want to do that. They were satisfied with their life. They were self-satisfied. They were fine. They didn't need to do anything. But when these publicans come, these people that you don't want to be around them, they're the very ones that are saying to John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3 and verse 12, "Teacher, what must we do?" The others are saying, "I'm not doing anything. I don't need to change. I'm fine." They're coming and they're asking, "What must we do? What must we do?" We understand that this is not optional. We need to do this. And what must we do? Let's not talk about the person beside me and what they need to do. I want to look at me. This is the hard question. Anybody can ask the question, "Well, what does the fellow down the pew from me need to do?" Anybody can ask that question. This is what must we do. Personal accountability, personal responsibility. And then, number three, must, obligation, we, personal responsibility, do. Not think or feel. And so in chapter 3 and verse 12, "And there came also publicans to be baptized. And they said unto him, Teacher, what must we do?" And notice in verse 13 what John says. He doesn't say, "Well, you need to be baptized." He doesn't say that. Did you notice that? He doesn't say, "Well, you need to be baptized." He said, "Extort no more than that which is appointed unto you." Baptism alone was not the whole goal of this, just to get wet in some water. Anybody can do that. But baptism, it must be preceded by a changed life. So extort no more than what is lawful. And that goes to the point of this, that publicans, tax collectors, were allowed by Rome. This is how they made their living. They were allowed by Rome to take the tax and then add to it. And the part that was added to it would be the part that they would live on. For example, if you were on a road and you needed to exit, the Roman tax would be, let's say, for example, a quarter. Okay, to get off this road, Rome requires a quarter, 25 cents. But the tax collector would charge you 50 cents. He would add to that. And the extra 25 cents, that's how he made his living. Okay, and that was allowed, and that was understood. And there were publicans, and there were chief publicans. We're going to see that later in the lesson with regard to Zacchaeus. There were tax collectors who reported to those above them, and then they reported to Rome. So you could charge 50 cents if you wanted to, or you could charge 30 cents, make 5 cents for every person, or you could charge whatever you wanted. It was up to you. And so what would happen, verse 13 is, you can see what the problem would be. Here comes people down the road, and they need to get off the road. But you're not going to let them pass by the toll booth until you get what you want from them. And you could see how you could start extorting people. You want to get off this road? Yeah, I really need to get off this road. Well, you better pay me 75 cents. Yep, they got you over a barrel. The guy's digging around. I don't know if I have 75. Well, what do you have? Well, I got 60 cents. I'll take that. You could see where it would turn into a corrupt situation. You could see where it could get out of hand real quick. And if you want to get off this road, you better pay me what I want to be paid. So John the Baptist, knowing that cultural climate and that cultural situation, he says to them, extort, no, don't extort someone. You could see how somebody would play that to their benefit. But I want to be a publican because they're the people who came and said, what do we need to do to change? And that's a noble thing. To realize that we need to repent and we need to make changes in our life. More than just getting wet in baptism. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when those people on the day of Pentecost heard Peter preaching, they asked, what must we do to be saved? To take on the personal responsibility, not the fellow down the pew, not pointing fingers at somebody else, but what do I need to do today to be right with God? That's a noble thing. If you back up earlier to verse 7, when John was baptizing there, in verse 7, he said, therefore, to the multitudes that went out to be baptized of him, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There were Jews who had come, and they weren't interested in changing. They weren't interested in asking, what must we do? They didn't think they needed to do anything. But the humble publican did. That's why I want to be a publican. To humbly ask, what must I do to be saved? And tell me, Lord, that truth, and I'll go out and do that. I want to be a publican because when it came time for this baptism, they were actually baptized when others would not be. And they believed in John when others would not. And an interesting thing about this is, turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We live in a world today where a lot of religions preach faith only and belief only. And I want you to examine Luke 7 together with Matthew 21. The text says in Luke 7 that the publicans believed John. But Matthew 21 says that they were baptized. They were baptized in one passage and they believed in another passage. And what that tells us is that belief is not faith only. It's not just mental assent. They believed John and then they were baptized of John. It's an active faith. It's an obedient faith. Let's look at it. In Luke chapter 7, verse 28, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is none greater than John, yet he that is but little in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, the ones that nobody likes, the publicans, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. I said it just opposite earlier. Luke 7 focuses on the baptism that they were baptized with. In just a moment, we're going to see in Matthew 21, they believed John. when other people wouldn't be baptized, when they rejected, look at verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. I want to be a publican because when they heard God's counsel, they just obeyed it. When they heard God's will, they just simply did that. They didn't reject that. That's why I want to be a publican. You might have a version in verse 29 that says that when the publicans came and they heard, they justified God. It's interesting, some of the newer versions say they proved God to be right. That's interesting. They proved God to be right. In other words, what God says is right. I want to do what God says. He's telling me what is right, His counsel is right, and I'm going to do that, even if those around me don't want it. Now hold your hand there in Luke 7 and turn over to Matthew chapter 21. These publicans exercised an active faith. This is a different occasion, Matthew chapter 21. On a different occasion, Jesus brings up the publicans again. In Matthew 21:32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. Look at that. They believed him. Well, was that faith only? Were they saved at the point of just believing John? No, Luke 7 says they were baptized of John, so belief leads to baptism. That's the same thing that Jesus says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the same thing that we find with regard to these publicans. They believed Matthew 21, and they were baptized, Luke 7. When John came in the way of righteousness, he was preaching what was right. You believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. That's why I want to be a publican. To have an active faith in what God tells me to do. And then act upon that. And you, when you saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward that you might believe him. And you can see the smug Pharisee. Well, I'm not gonna do what those publicans and harlots, those prostitutes, I'm not gonna do what they do. And yet, it's the publican and the prostitute. That's the example that Jesus is holding up as the one who we're supposed to be following. That's why I want to be a publican. I want to be a publican because they were nice to their own people when others were not. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You would think that everybody would be nice to their own people, but that's not always the case. But the publicans were. Jesus holds them up as a high example here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46. If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? The publicans love their own. Now, Jesus, I believe here, is calling upon his followers to do more than that. To do more than that. But at least, notice he points out that they love their own. Can we not do the same? You think, well, everybody loves their own. Not necessarily. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 that when it comes to our brethren, he says, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one toward another, in honor, preferring one another. At least we can love our own and be loving, tenderly affectioned one toward another as brethren. I want to be a publican because they love their own when others would not. I want to be a publican because when one of them was called to follow Jesus, he immediately got up and did that. And that's the person we know as Matthew, the first book in our New Testament, Matthew or Levi. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Do you remember that Matthew or Levi was a publican? And he writes one of our books in the New Testament. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. This is a great attitude that we need today. It's easy to get burnt out and cold and where we're not zealous like we should. We need to immediately do what God wants us to do. And immediately fulfill our responsibilities and immediately act upon the things that God wants us to do in the local church. And it's easy to kind of lose that in our life. To let that fire go out, that zeal to go out. And Matthew's a great example here of sacrifice, an immediate sacrifice. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, Jesus had been preaching and teaching and he's gaining followers and disciples. And after these things, he went forth and beheld a publican. It wouldn't have been too hard to find this man. They're everywhere. They're at the end of the road. You pay at the end, remember? So you're on a road somewhere and you need to get off. You got to go through the publican. So it wouldn't have been hard for Jesus to cross paths with this man. And he beheld a publican named Levi. This is Matthew. Sitting at the place of toll and said unto him, follow me. And he forsook all and rose up and followed him. There's no excuse making. There's no, I've got other stuff I need to do. Not today. I like what you're saying, but I've got stuff I've got to. There wasn't any of that. He just got up and left. That seems pretty radical to us today. And yet, that's what we're called upon to do. Later, when Matthew is listing the 12 apostles, he describes Matthew in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3 as the publican, Levi, or Matthew, the publican. He's reminded of that in that list, and we're reminded of that. Wouldn't it be great to have that attitude today? I want to be a publican because we have Matthew here who is just immediately doing what Jesus wants him to do. Can we do that as well? Not just on our conversion, but after that as a Christian. When Paul was preaching in Philippi there, the jailer and his household, the text says that they immediately were baptized in the same hour of the night. No procrastination, no excuse making, no putting it off, no, I like it, but I'll do it later. Just immediate. And what a great example for us. Paul talks in that same Romans 12 passage about being zealous in our service. John talks about the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 about how that they had left their first love. It's easy to let our love grow cold and just sort of have a bare minimum religion. I want to be a publican because we find this attitude of immediate response. Like Isaiah in Isaiah 6. Here am I, send me. Will we get up and follow and will we forsake all? Obviously we have work. The New Testament teaches that we need to work. Obviously we have marriage and family. The New Testament teaches and extols and honors marriage and the family. But we cannot let those things be put in front of the Lord. Somebody would argue that Matthew was being foolish here. Well, that was stupid to leave everything. How are you going to feed your family? That was crazy. That was foolhardy. That was, you weren't thinking. No, he was thinking. He put the Lord first. And we have a New Testament book of the Bible as a result of that. Let's do the same. I want to be a publican because of their immediate response and their willingness to leave behind anything that's going to stand in the way to properly serve the Lord. And look here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 29, we find another great quality about these publicans. Notice in the very next verse, I want to be a publican because they invited their friends to come to Jesus. Will we invite our friends to come to the church service? Will we invite our friends to come to the upcoming gospel meeting? Let's be inviting our friends. They weren't embarrassed of Jesus. They weren't embarrassed of the gospel. Matthew wasn't embarrassed that he had made the decision to follow Christ. And it shows in the very next verse, "And Levi," or Matthew, "made him a great feast in his house, and there was a great multitude of publicans and others that were sitting at meat with them." I want them to know about Jesus too. And the text says, a great multitude of publicans. Can you imagine if somebody walked by Matthew's house and saw a great multitude of publicans, these people that we despise and can't stand? Oh yeah, there's the guy that's on my road, and he's always trying to take my quarter. I see him over there. Yeah, I know who that guy is. What's he doing over there? Well, he's being given an opportunity to hear Jesus. I want to be a publican because I include myself. I can do better inviting my friends to Jesus. And not be embarrassed by that. Not being worried about if we're going to be accused of being some religious fanatic or someone who's always trying to bring up church or the Bible or religion. But just unabashedly invite our friends. And we find that they were given an opportunity. And the only thing the Pharisees could come up with in verse 30 was, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" That was the only thing on their mind. Really? Really? Jesus answering and said unto them, "They that are in health have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And how can I do that if I'm not around them to talk to them? The New Testament church was zealous to reach others with Christ. And so the text says that the New Testament church was scattered everywhere preaching the word. I want to be like a publican because I can do better in inviting friends and family and talking with them about the Word of God. What a great attitude this was. That Matthew said, "I have found Jesus, but I don't want to keep him to myself. I want to open my home up so that others can come to Jesus as well." You know, I want to be a publican because in chapter 5 and verse 30, and turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 34. And if you've noticed by now that many of these passages are in the book of Luke, there's a reason for that. Most of the passages this morning that we're looking at are from the book of Luke. And there's a reason for that. Luke is a book that is written for a wide Gentile audience that includes the outcasts and the lowly and the deplorables and the shunned. It's Luke that talks about the lepers and the widows and the sinners and the publicans. And there's a reason for that. He's including that to show that Jesus is for all people. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, Jesus had gotten a stigma placed on him. This is not said as a compliment, it's said as a put down. The Son of Man is coming eating and drinking, and you say, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners," as if that's a bad thing, to be a friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, that's a bad thing. They were willing to associate with Jesus. The previous point was Matthew was willing to go out and call and invite people into his home to come in contact with Jesus. And we can do that today. But this is the flip side of it. They were willing to attend. They were willing to be a friend of Jesus. They were willing to be associated with him when many people were not. People, some of the Jews were calling him, "Well, you've got a demon. And you're a Samaritan. And negative names like that. And these publicans are like, well, we want to be with Jesus. Do you remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when Peter and John were preaching there, the text says that the crowd around them took notice that they had been with Jesus. That's a compliment. And when you're at work and when you're at school and when you're out in the community, know that it's a good thing to be known to be with Jesus, to identify with Jesus, when others will not. They were willing to listen to Him, and we'll say some more about that in just a minute. They were willing to come and be a part of His ministry. I want to be a publican because they came to hear Jesus teaching, not to be entertained. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Again, staying in the book of Luke here. Here's another occasion where Luke records, now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto Him to hear Him. Underscore that in your Bible, to hear Him, not to be entertained by Him. Not to be motivated by a motivational speaker. We talked about that some in our class this morning on the work of the evangelist. Not a motivational speaker, not an entertainer. Not a feel-good presentation. They came to hear Him, not to be entertained by Him. In John chapter 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000 the next day, some people came and found Jesus. They wanted to be fed again. They're shallow. All they wanted was some more food. They didn't want to hear teaching. And when Jesus said, work not for the food which perishes, He began to teach in John chapter 6 about the importance of discipleship. And in verse 66, it said, many of His followers went back and followed Him no more. They didn't want teaching. They didn't want in-depth doctrine. They didn't want discipleship. They wanted some more food. And when they realized, we're not getting our food, they left. These publicans showed up to hear Him. Not to be fed by Him, not to be entertained by Him. And what a great quality that is. There's a time and place. I love entertainment. I love stand-up comedy when it's clean. I do. But this is not the time and place for it. And what a great quality that is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul realized that when he went to Corinth. This is particularly noticeable in the book of Corinthians because the Corinthians were like the Athenians. They prided themselves, I'm not talking about members of the church, I'm talking about their culture. They prided themselves in oratory. Men would go to oratory schools to stand up and do public speaking and use Greek words in ways that entertained and beckoned the attention of their audience. And so they were trained for that. And they were known for that. And so Paul makes a play on that point here in chapter 2. When I showed up at Corinth in Acts 18, I didn't come with excellency of speech. Look at verse 1. I did not come with excellency of speech. When the Corinthians read that in that letter, they knew exactly what that meant. That meant you're schooled to be a public speaker. That's how they would read that. And they're hearing, that's not what Paul was. It's not about oratory. It's not about someone standing up in a motivational, entertaining kind of way, giving what we might call a political speech, a rousing political speech. It's not like that. It's just simply preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. And that's what he did. It was not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. They would have heard that as Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, the formal wisdom that you're trained with in the classical schools of Corinth and Athens. Paul said, I wasn't about that either. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. They would have read that as the way a man is classically trained to do public speaking. here in town. And Paul's saying, I wasn't about that. I just simply came as a converted Jew to Christ, preaching the gospel. I'm not like the people that are pumped out of the schools here in town. Why, Paul, verse 4, and here's the key. That your faith, verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. At the end of the day, we want our faith to be in God and His Word, not in the man standing up speaking to us. They showed up just simply to hear Jesus. I want to be a publican because they were humble when others were not. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. This is probably one of the more famous publicans in the Gospels. Turn with me to Luke 18. We live in a very proud world. We live in a world where many do not want to admit wrong or say that they have made a mistake or I was wrong about this or wrong about that. Pride fills a lot of shoes and power and things like that. And it's good to be reminded of just being humble. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That by itself is not a problem. We need to be righteous. But it's the next part. And they set all others at naught. Well, you're below me. And the parable that he uses, one of the men is an outcast, a deplorable, a shunned person. He's a publican. And that's the very one that Jesus is exalting here in the parable to say, we need to be like this man. So two men, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And that's what James says, that we need to humble ourselves before the almighty hand of God. Did you notice in these two prayers, look at verse 11, The Pharisee is telling God things. The Pharisee is telling God things. I this, I that, as if God doesn't know these things. The publican is humbly requesting. Those are two different things. Telling God something versus requesting mercy. And the humility of this man is brought out here. And he went down to his house justified. Let's walk humbly before God each day. That's what the Lord requires. You remember Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What does the Lord require? One of the things is that we walk humbly before Him each and every day. And then last of all, I want to be a publican because we find one here, turn with me to Luke 19, who did everything that it took to get to Jesus. Nothing stood in his way. No excuses, no hurdles, no situations too great. He got to Jesus and he was saved. Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. Let's look at it. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, and he entered in and was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican. Notice that. He would have been above your ordinary tax collector. He would have been the next level up that the tax collectors report to, and then they report to the local Roman authorities. So he was above your average tax collector, but he was a part of them. And he was rich. Well, how did he make his money? Well, you can add to the tax. That's how you make your money. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd because he was little, of little stature. And he ran on before and climbed up at a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. We've seen that before, where they would do that. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we teach this story to the kids. It's a great Bible story for the kids. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Remember that? That's a great story. But it's for us as adults, too. And it's not just about a wee little man. It's about that and much more. Notice the things that he was willing to overcome. His stature was not his only hurdle. Let's back up in the text. Look at verse 2. The first thing that he hurdled was that he was a chief publican. He wasn't going to let that stand in his way of coming to Jesus. Any of the corruptness, any of the problems associated with that, he was not going to let that stand in his way. Number 2, the text says he was rich. He's not going to let his money stand in the way of coming to Jesus. Remember, like the rich young ruler? He walked away sorrowful because he was rich. This man was rich, but I'm not going to let that stand in the way. I'm not going to let money stand in the way. Number 3, his stature. He was short. And so he climbs up in this sycamore tree to see Jesus. He overcomes that hurdle. And then notice another hurdle that he overcomes in verse 5. Make haste and come down. And he made haste and came down. He overcame the hurdle of procrastination. And just putting it off, which is so common. And then there's another hurdle that he overcame. When he talked with Jesus in verse 8, he overcame the hurdle of repentance. If I have done what is wrong, I'm here to tell you by law, Exodus chapter 22, Leviticus chapter 6, Numbers chapter 5, I will restore not only what I took wrong, but I will add to that. And I don't believe he was exaggerating. Look at verse 8. The half of my goods I give to the poor. I don't think he was exaggerating. I don't think he was making that up. Go home and give half of what you have away. Talk about sacrifice. He overcame the hurdle of sacrifice and repentance. He's truly a changed man. That's why I want to be a publican. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, let us lay aside any weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we run this Christian race. This man, I've got to get to Jesus. I'm not going to let my past work, my money, my stature, procrastination, or things that I've done wrong, I'm not going to let any of that stand in the way. And if there's some weight or some sin that does easily beset us, it's just holding us back, let it go and run that race, keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's why I want to be a publican. And maybe after the lesson this morning, you want to be one too. These folks that are typically shunned and ignored and put off, they end up being the very ones that we need to be like today. I hope that that will help us. And if there's someone that needs to have an active faith and belief this morning in coming and being baptized, do that. If we need to get out there more and invite our friends and associate with Jesus more, let us be willing to do that. Let us come simply to learn and to be taught, and not to be entertained. Let us come with humility each and every day and walk humbly before our Lord and overcome any hurdles that the devil throws in the way to get to Jesus and get to Him and hear that same statement, today is salvation come to this house. Wouldn't we want to hear that in our own marriage and in our own home? To have Jesus to say, salvation has come to this house. What a great thing. And we can do that if we'll have that attitude of Zacchaeus. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?